This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Indeed, you are on Saturday Magazine. Thanks for the news, Paul. And we're going to be speaking next with Deputy Lord Mayor Nick Rees, who's on the line waiting anxiously. We're going to talk US politics. And I know that that's a subject that you have some interest in, well, as a newsreader as
well. Quite a bit.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Good morning, Macca. Good morning, Paul. Delighted to be coming to you this morning from Lawn on the state's south coast.
Now, are you going in that pub-to-peer thing?
I am indeed, Macca. In fact, once we are through our little chat this morning, I'll be donning the wetsuit and heading out to the pier where I'll be beginning the swim to the pub.
Nick, that's very adventurous for a Saturday morning.
It is. I'm actually quite fearful of what's to come. It was 20 years ago that I last did this swim.
So oh, God.
I really hope I get through it. I'll send you a text, Macca, to let you know I've made it. So you
made it to the other end.
Have you been doing much training, Nick?
Look, not as much as I should have, Paul. A couple of ocean swims over the summer, but really not enough for a man of my age.
Oh, well. It'll just make the beer taste better by the time you finish.
It will. It will.
It will indeed, and I will be certainly savouring that this afternoon.
Now, we've got, you know, the Iowa primary is about to start, and there's a couple of, obviously, in Republican contenders. We have Florida Governor Ron DeSanctimonious. We have Nikki Haley's comet and the kidnapped chimp, Donald Trump. Are there any others? I see Chris Christie has withdrawn. Are there others that matter? Well, I mean, there are a few that think they do, but is it between those three?
They're the ones with any serious chance of success. There are one or two others who are still in the race. But in terms of the polls, you've got Trump sort of fairly clearly ahead, but we'll unpack that a bit in a moment.
Yep.
Then you've got Nikki Haley, former UN ambassador, who is really rising in the polls at the moment. You've got Ron DeSantis, the former Florida governor. Oh, sorry, the Florida governor, who is flatlining, it would seem. And then there's Chris Christie, who this week announced that he was withdrawing from the race.
Haley's Comet. I think that's a good name for her.
Look, things have certainly heated up in the Republican primaries this week. The Iowa caucuses commence on Tuesday, Australian time. So it is on, Macca, and the voting is about to start for the primaries for the US presidential race. So the Republican candidates have been out on the ground in Iowa campaigning. Of course, Donald Trump has not been participating.
He's been too busy in court.
He was in court, but he still managed to get to a Fox News-hosted event where he was the only speaker, not taking questions. But he did get a rapturous response from the audience, people yelling out, "We love you, Trump." Mm. And he is well ahead in the polls, it would seem, in Iowa. The two leading rivals, Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley, had their final debate on Wednesday, and you know, attack, attack, attack was the theme for the debate. I actually thought they both did pretty well in terms of, you know, putting their arguments forward. Ron DeSantis got more, you know, rounds of applause from the audience, but Nikki Haley won the debate. Probably the best line of the debate was Ron DeSantis accusing Nikki Haley of having a ballistic podiatry problem. A reference to her tendency to shoot herself in the foot.
That's a bit cheap.
But they both went after each other pretty hard, and also both went after Trump probably more stridently than they have in the past. The big issues was border security, saying they're going to withdraw funding for what's called sanctuary cities like Chicago, which provides support for immigrants. both pledging their strong support for Israel, and an interesting division of opinion over Ukraine. You know, DeSantis is saying, you know, pretty clearly that he wants to see a US withdrawal of support in Ukraine, whereas Nikki Haley, former UN ambassador, has got a much more stronger supporting position of the Ukraine.
Nick, was there any domestic policies that they differed on as candidates?
Because other than that they hate our community.
Look, it would be fair to say that Ron DeSantis is more strident around border security. You know, he sort of says, Nikki Haley, she's more interested in the border in Ukraine than the southern border of the United States. And he really tries, and he highlights comments she's made in the past where she has said she would provide a pathway to citizenship for undocumented immigrants into the US. And it is fair to say she has a more nuanced position on border security and immigration. And so there was quite a lot of debate around that.
So a little bit more centrist than right-wing for the Haley candidate.
Yes. I mean, both of these candidates would be considered quite right-wing by Australian political standards, but Nikki Haley is certainly the more centrist of those two. And, in fact, Chris Christie, who withdrew this week, you know, he's been a really strong contender in the past, but he withdrew this week. He's got no chance. His polling's bad. He's in single figures across the country. So he withdrew saying he wanted to give the other candidates the best chance of beating Trump, and his withdrawal is of the biggest benefit to Nikki Haley because Christie was sort of seen as more of a centrist as well. Having said that, of course, having just announced his withdrawal, giving Nikki Haley a boost, he was then caught on a hot mic saying that Nikki Haley is going to get smoked. She's not up to it. And also saying DeSantis is petrified. So that all turned out to be a disaster as well.
Nick, it's the other Paul here. I'm just curious as to whether you think that candidates like Haley and DeSantis are quite content that Trump is otherwise distracted by his legal problems, or whether they would prefer that he was actually there so they could attack him and sort of expose his weaknesses in public.
Well, Trump is not participating in Republican debates because of the 91 felonies that he is facing various legal proceedings for around
just the 91.
Yeah,
he is not attending those debates because he doesn't see it to be to his political advantage to do so. So he's boycotting them for political reasons. As I said, he went and did a Fox News community hall meeting on the same night that the Republican debate was occurring, except it was just him. There was no questions. It was an adoring audience. There is no doubt, though, that Chris Christie pulling out does help Nikki Haley. And there is a little bit of momentum building around her campaign. You know, they're sort of saying that she was 7 points behind Trump in New Hampshire, which is where the Republican primaries go to after Iowa. And with Chris Christie pulling out, if that his vote moves over to Nikki, suddenly it's starting to look like a contest. Do I think any of them have any chance against Trump? No, I don't. I think he's, you know, all but absolutely certain of getting the Republican nomination, barring legal proceedings stopping that from occurring. Paul, you asked the question, do those legal proceedings help or hinder Donald Trump? Well, obviously, from an administrative perspective, if he's legally barred from running, then that stops him dead in his tracks. But perversely, the legal proceedings seem to be helping Trump amongst certainly Republican supporters, because it's, you know, all part of this pitch that he has for himself about him being under siege from the establishment, and he's going to fight the establishment on behalf of all Americans the same way they're seeing him fight in the courts.
I want you to hold that that thought, Nick. We're just going to a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the Democrats. You know, Joe Biden, you know, has declared he is a candidate. There's no one else as a candidate. There's some discussion around that. I want you to think about in the break, the American public potentially face a choice between Great Uncle Joe and the kidnapped chimp. How important are independent voters going to be in that? So have a think about that, Nick, and when we come back, we'll explore that a bit more. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca and Paul and Paul. Stay with us.
This is Saturday Magazine. You are with Macca and Paul, our newsreader, Paul, and we're talking to Nick Rees, Macca.
Ah, Deputy Lord Mayor, and we're talking US politics. So, Nick, assuming that Trump wins the primaries, which I think, you know, is pretty likely, there are a couple of states that have said Trump can't be on the ballot, and that's being appealed by the Supreme Court, which of course, to the Supreme Court, which of course Donald Trump has effectively stacked. I think that's going to be a really, really important decision for the Supreme Court to make as to whether or not he can be on the ballot. Those states are quite within their rights to make that decision, their Supreme Courts. But the US Supreme Court is going to have to decide where it sits on this, aren't they? Whether or not Donald Trump was part of effectively an insurrection.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that this decision by the Supreme Court could be the most consequential decision it has ever made, because some of your listeners may not be aware, Donald Trump is currently ahead in the polls in a head-to-head contest with Joe Biden for the presidency vote in November. So if Trump remains on the ballot, then there is a very good prospect he will return to being president of the United States. And so whether he makes it onto the ballot or not becomes a hugely consequential point. Now, there are two states that have said that he is cannot be on the ballot because of his role in the insurrection of January 6th. And both of those decisions have now been appealed to the Supreme Court. Of course, Donald Trump gratuitously stacked the Supreme Court with Trump sympathisers when he was president. And so there is some speculation that the Supreme Court will find in Trump's favour in those matters. So there's still a way to go on that one, but something obviously to follow very closely.
Well, it'd be nice if they actually decided it on matters of law, but I suspect they're not going to. I suspect
it'll follow the ideology, Macca.
Yeah. To go to the Democrats, Nick, there was, I won't call it a rumour, I thought it was a bit of a brain fart, that Michelle Obama, some of the comments she made in a recent interview and podcast, you know, people say, Michelle is flagging a potential run for the presidency. Thoughts? Likely?
Look, you would think that this election should be a lay-down mazir for Joe Biden, would you? I mean, his main rival, Donald Trump...
You don't mean just a lay-down president.
91 felonies, he's, you know, essentially promising an attack on democracy. We all know his track record. You would think that he would have no chance. But, as I said, Trump is currently ahead in the polls. A big reason for that is because the incumbent president, Joe Biden, is 81 years old. People have genuine concerns and fears about his mental and physical health.
But hang on, Nick. Trump is not a lot younger. Now, if you talk about mental health, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that Donald Trump is a very interesting group of people, all of them bad, right? Now, you know, Joe Biden, you know, is he in full control of his faculties? I don't know. But mental health and age, seriously, there's not much to choose between them.
I was going to also suggest...
Yes, in terms of age, I think Trump is 77, so he's only 4 years younger than Biden, but certainly he does have a vitality to him, shall I say, that Biden does. You know, Trump was out there this week saying Biden can't string two sentences together. And sometimes when you see Biden perform, you can't help but think there might be an element of truth in that. And so the Democrats find them in this invidious position. Of course, history tells us a incumbent president has only pulled out once. That was LBJ in 1968, and the Democrats went on to lose that election to Richard Nixon, who 12 months earlier people said was unelectable. But Biden's problems are multifaceted. Probably the most significant thing that's happening is there's some big demographic shifts that are working against him. So Hispanic voters that have historically been pretty loyal Democrat voters, they seem to be moving over to the Republicans. Black males, yes, moving over to the Republicans. Young voters and college graduates had been propping up the Democrats. But now, particularly with the Israel-Gaza conflict, the Biden administration is losing support from those two cohorts. And so he's in a lot of trouble.
You know, I look at, and I've just finished a book, Nick, by an ex-Republican pollster about the coalition that the Republicans have pulled together. And some of it you think, really? Like, how do these people, you know, these cultures and these nationalities vote for Trump? And you see some really unusual stuff. Like, there was a group in the last campaign, Twinks for Trump. And I'm like, seriously? Like, but Gaza and Israel, this is going to be a big factor, isn't it? Particularly with younger voters.
And there's lots of political science around this, Macca, that how people don't vote on a rational basis. They don't vote for which party is going to offer them the best, you know, financial deal, economic deal for them and their family. There's a whole multitude of other factors that get weaved in there, like their feelings of patriotism, cultural issues. And so particularly for some of those, heavily religious, Hispanic and black populations, they are leaning more towards Republicans than they used to. And so, there's a multitude of factors woven in there.
Nick, a message has just come through from Ali in South Melbourne, who says they're an American citizen and deeply unhappy with the current set of options for them. But they're saying, you know, they've also reiterated the unhappy with Biden about the Israel war with Gaza, but also say in this note, despite whispers from Bernie Sanders that he might run as an independent.
Yeah, but he's 83.
Well, exactly. They're going from bad to worse. Is there anyone else in the Democratic pool that could come and stand in?
If Gavin Newsom, perhaps?
If Biden was to, say, become too frail.
Yeah, so Gavin Newsom is the governor of California, which I think is the sixth largest economy in the world. Yeah. And, you know, he is definitely the leading light on the Democrat side of politics after Joe Biden. And the truth is he's desperately hoping to get the call up for this contest, even though he sort of says words to the contrary whenever he's asked by the media. And as we've discussed on this program before, like, you know, a fantastic contest would be Gavin Newsom, governor of California, versus someone like a Ron DeSantis or even a Nikki Haley on the Republican side. The problem is, and look, other names that have been mentioned to go to your question, Paul, include Kamala Harris, yeah, and even Michelle Obama. Look, I can't see how any of those three are going to get there. Biden has an almost feels as almost a divine calling. He beat Trump last time. He thinks he can do it again. I think nominations for the Democrat primary have closed in 20 states already. So there's a huge administrative blocker that would mean that some of those other candidates couldn't get up. There is some speculation that if Biden was to step out of the race, it would have to be for
a health event,
or, you know, for health reasons, he would step down, thus paving the way for one of these. But it's even at this late in the piece, it would be very hard to do.
Of course, there is precedent, not in terms of the health event, but in 1968 when LBJ said, you know, I won't nominate or accept, you know, the nomination of my party, and the primaries all went wrong, and Robert Kennedy was assassinated. The Democratic Party decided to appoint or to nominate Hubert Humphrey. So he didn't come through the primaries. Of course, you know, he lost dramatically. So there is precedent with, you know, the Democratic Party choosing a nominee outside the process. I do wonder, Joe Biden is not, clearly he would be being advised by a lot of his folk about the polls. You know, he's been a politician for most of his life. And yes, he beat Trump once. Can he beat him again? But, you have to wonder, like, when why does he want to be president for another 4 years? Not just to beat Donald Trump, but, I mean, who he chooses as vice president is going to be very important, isn't it? Because that person is likely to be president, or effectively be president.
Yes, it's a really good point, Macca. I mean, you would think that he would probably go with Kamala Harris again, notwithstanding the fact that Kamala Harris herself ran a disastrous campaign for president back in 2020. And, you know, there's mixed views on how she has performed as vice president. But yes, because of Biden's age, that does become a really critical question. Again, as you've just flagged, what does history tell us? When LBJ, an incumbent Democrat president, withdrew from the race in 1968, it was disastrous for Democrats. And Richard Nixon went on to win a race that nobody could have ever
thought he could win.
He was going to win.
I wonder whether there's any marketing potential, though, behind the idea of a Michelle Obama, Kamala Harris team running.
Well, look, there is speculation about independents entering the race. Robert Kennedy, who is the nephew, I believe it is, of John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, the son. He's the son of Bob. He's the son of Bobby, isn't he?
That's right. Yeah. Yep. Cornel West has been speculated, another Democrat Senator Joe Manchin, and there's an entrepreneur called Andrew Yang. Now, look, if these guys run, they're on the sort of Democrat side of politics, then you would think that would not be good for the Democrats, because the votes that they're going to peel off from either Trump or Biden are more likely to come from the Biden side. And we've seen that again in the past. You know, when Ralph Nader ran, you know, very progressive consumer rights advocate, he peeled votes off the Democrats. George W. Bush got up. When the Greens ran a candidate in 2016, was it? They peeled off just enough votes to mean that Hillary lost to Trump. So, yeah, you've got to be really careful with those independent candidates.
Nick, I thought your insights, you know, earlier on, you were talking about the dissection of the voting populace. And I think what you were saying earlier, just in terms of how you then go down to the micro levels of the different types of backgrounds and the different age profiles of the voter is going to play a massive part. And I think that's the bit that's really going to turn this election into a Trump win.
I'm going to lend you that book, Nick, so you can read it. It's very interesting. I would think what I would like to see, and I have enormous regard for Joe Biden, what he's done, you know, as a legislator and as Obama's vice president and also as president. However, mate, time to go back to Delaware, I think. I think I'd like to see a Democratic presidential nominee and vice presidential nominee of Gavin Newsom and Michelle Obama in whatever order works. That would be a winning ticket.
I agree.
Look, that would be very exciting. That would, you know, get people off the couch, wouldn't it, and get them out there campaigning. The hard-headed political analyst in me would say, Macca, who is the more conservative of those two candidates that would give those, you know, Democrat voters who lean a little bit conservative. Who do they identify with on that ticket?
Look, probably. Oh God, there's not much. Only a tally-ho paper between them. But I would think the reality is, Nick, that if you had a ticket of those two, that would energise the electorate. And you know, Trump has said, "I already, you know, decided who my vice president." Will be. I think, you know, at the end of the day, a ticket like that, I think, would win. I actually don't think Joe Biden can win. I actually don't think he can win because the narrative that Trump is running is getting so much traction, and the Democrats, their base has changed, but it's decreasing. you know, they're relying on a rapidly decreasing base, whereas the Republicans are just picking little, you know, well, not little bits, bits here, bits there. We could despair and think, how can possibly people vote for this chimp? But they do.
So is anybody ready for Marjorie Taylor Greene or Carrie Lake as vice president, do you think? Can you imagine?
Yeah, look, I agree with your analysis, Macca, that on the current trajectory, Joe Biden and the Democrats are heading for a loss, and Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States. And we don't hide our opinions in these conversations. I think that would be bad for the world.
Yeah.
So the Democrats have got to do something, don't they?
Well, they've got to do something. I think, you know, if I'm going to give you a prediction, health event. That's the only way for Biden to back out and for the Democrats to actually have the round objects, otherwise known as balls, to actually make a decision that we cannot win with this guy. Because if they don't do that, they are going to lose. They're going to get, you know, the next turkey for Thanksgiving is going to be Joe Biden.
Nick, we're out of time, sadly. We're going to keep you on speed dial because if something does happen in the next couple of weeks, and it's got to happen in the next couple of weeks.
And don't drown today.
We'll get you coming back to give us the
analysis.
Don't
drown today.
I can't wait for these conversations across 2024. It's just going to be the train wreck we can't look away from, isn't it? And endlessly fascinating as well. So great to be with you, Macca. Great to be with you, Paul.
Thanks.
Thank you. And best of luck for today. Don't swallow any of that water.
No, that's right.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Okay, cheers.
You are on SatMag with Macca and Paul. Stay with us. There's more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.